Good morning and welcome, friends of Mountain View. This morning I'm going to be looking at one particular passage found in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. So if you could look there. It's very simple. It simply says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power, and that he went around doing good to all. Now, this is indeed a new way of looking at and of thinking about power, that Jesus, with all his power, what he did with it is he went about doing good. And so this is the summary of Jesus' life, a description of his life, and this morning my aim is to be as practical as I can as well, and oh, that it could be said of all Christians in 2021 and throughout the remainder of our life that every disciple of Jesus went about doing good to all. And clearly, if the Spirit had his way in our life, we would be people of good deeds. Paul in Galatians says that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. So a sanctified life is a life of good deeds. Now let's focus our thoughts on this passage. He went around doing good, or some versions say he went about doing good. Now I want you to notice that the text does not say, the text does not say this itself, but Jesus went about doing only good. We know that from the remainder of Scripture, that he was without sin. It's striking that Jesus was never, there was never anything recorded of him on any occasion that he did evil to anybody, that he ever took advantage of anybody. He never treated anybody violently. He never stole from anybody. He never took advantage of anybody sexually. He never lied to anybody. He never spoke falsely of anybody. And when he went around, he did good, and he did only good. It was thoroughly good. It was not a goodness that was in any way mixed with evil. And so this morning what I want to do is just break this passage down and make three particular points. The first one is, let us consider the various spheres or groups to whom Jesus did good. And we will notice that he did good to everybody. But if we are going to imitate Jesus, then we need to do good within all of our various spheres of relationships. Now, Jesus was known to have done good to those who were closest to him. While a young child, we read that he obeyed his parents. We don't know precisely when Joseph died, but being the eldest son, it was clear that the responsibility to take care of his family would have fallen on Jesus' shoulders since he was the oldest son. Before he died, we find Jesus making sure that his mother is taken care of. Clearly, he loved and he forgave his brothers who initially did not even believe in him, and so they added to his hardships in life. So he did good to his own family. You know, some folk, they can be very cruel and very negligent with those closest to them. They can be very friendly, very generous even with strangers and with others. But when it comes to home life, they can be tyrants there. I remember my first funeral that I had to do. The man had committed suicide. I had never met the family. I went and asked the wife, would you be willing to do a eulogy? And she said no. She had nothing good to say about him. Then I said, would any of your children like to say anything? And likewise, they did not want to say anything either. So it was a very short service, a funeral service on that particular occasion. It is easy for some to neglect doing good to those who are closest to us. So easy to take advantage of them. But this is not the example that we read about in Jesus. We read instead, husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And that can be easily translated to make sure that you do good to your wife. And then we read also in Proverbs 31 about a woman of noble character. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good all the days of her life. And then in Ephesians, we read, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And Paul also in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3-8 says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anybody does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So clearly, Christians are to do good to their families, as Jesus did good to his family. As we observe the life of Jesus, we also find that he did good to his friends. Jesus said to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And so he chose them. He spent time with them. He trained them. He spoke truth to them. He forgave them. He included them in his deepest thoughts. He loved them to the very end, we read. And then we also read that he said, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And that's what he did. There's a song or a hymn that we often sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. So if we are to imitate the life of Jesus, we need to love our friends. They are God's gifts to us. Do them good and seek not to take them for granted. Of course, Jesus did good to the church. Again, we read, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus loves his bride. He loves those whom he has redeemed. He died for the church. And so likewise, we as disciples of Jesus, we must do good to Christ's church. And we read that it must be a priority in the life of every believer. Galatians 6:10, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. If Jesus has called us, if Jesus has saved us, then he has gifted us as well. And we are to use our gifts, we are to use our talents to serve our brothers and sisters. We are to be hospitable. We are to pray for them, to help carry their burdens, to forgive one another, help meet their needs, serve your brothers and sisters. This is your spiritual family. What a wonderful testimony it can be when we finally leave a community of faith for people to be able to say, you know, while they were with us, that individual did us a lot of good. They did us good. All right, are we done with goodness? And the answer, of course, is no. Then it's go and do good to those who are outside the community of faith, those that are not part of our group. I mean, Jesus told a parable of the Good Samaritan, and it's about doing good to those who are deemed even your enemies. Remember the passage, Jews and Samaritans have nothing to do with each other. And we are to do them good because Jesus did good to his enemies. Indeed, we are told that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. I remember having a conversation with an individual, and he mentioned to me, and he said he wasn't proud about this, but he said he wanted to be truthful about it, that he cared only about his inner circle, only his friends and his family. that otherwise he felt no desire and no obligation to help anybody else. So here's an individual who may have been very generous, but he was only generous with the inner circle of his family and friends. He was not concerned about the plight of the stranger. And these days, I hear many just say, you know what, I'm not going to talk to, I'm not going to associate with, I'm not going to eat with, I'm not going to help anybody who's not part of my group, my political party, my denomination. But again, this is not what Jesus taught us. Instead, our examples are people like Corrie ten Boom, who understood what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. Her family risked everything to help save Jews during the Second World War. They hid them in their own homes, the Ten Boom family. But someone ended up telling the Nazis about their actions, and many of these brave souls ended up losing their lives. But think about it, they were Christians. They were not Jews. So why should they care? And one quick and easy answer that would come from Corrie would be, because I'm a disciple of Jesus. That's why. And I would say, be a good citizen as well. Again, very interesting to read first century comments by a Roman called Pliny about the early Christians. He said, they declared that the sum total of their guilt or error amounted to no more than this, that they had met regularly before dawn on a fixed day to chant verses alternately amongst themselves in honor of Christ as if to a god. And then he says, and also to bind themselves by oath, not for any criminal purpose, but to abstain from theft, from robbery and adultery, to commit no breach of trust and not to deny a deposit when called upon to restore it. The early Christians made a big deal to be model citizens. Do good in your business where you work. Do good in your neighborhood in which you live. Do good in the school that you attend. Do good to the city and the nation that you have been placed in. Let goodness follow you wherever you go. So I think it's pretty clear. You name it, whoever it was, Jesus did good to them. That was his aim. Secondly, I want us to just consider the kinds of actions that Jesus did. And you'll see that wherever there was need, whatever kind of need there was, he did good to them. He went around doing good, performing good deeds of various kinds. Now, if you notice again in this particular context that it says that he went about healing, doing good healing, and that he healed all. So in other words, Jesus did not ignore the physical needs of human beings. The blind could see, the lame could walk, the deaf could hear, the withered hand is stretched, the fever is gone, the lepers are cleansed. And so a vast majority of Jesus' miracles had to do with ministering to the physical needs of human beings. And I wonder sometimes if people within the church have become too super spiritual and downplay the physical needs of human beings over and above the spiritual needs. Again, if we are going to let Jesus be our example, we see that he left us an example to care for the needs, the physical needs of others. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, 18 picks up on this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Then he says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongues, but with action and in truth. He challenges us, be practical, do good deeds. Don't just think about it. Do them. And here's a very specific word that Paul gives to the rich In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19, he charges the rich, do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. It should be one of our greatest privileges and blessings to be able to bless others. And there are so many ways that we can do it. You know, if you have a car, bless others by giving them a ride. If you have a house, bless others by offering hospitality once COVID has ended. We have been given gifts by God and talents. Use them for the good of others. And so the Good Samaritan parable teaches us that to love our neighbors, not simply to evangelize them, but also to help care for their personal needs. Now, if there are those who neglect doing good to the body, there are many who neglect doing good to a person's soul by bringing them the gospel. I have spoken with some that I'm thinking specifically about one person that I spoke with who was a Christian, and he mentioned to me, you know what, if the church continues to do good and they go overseas and they help people, you know, get food and they bring medicine and all these things, he says, I value that kind of stuff. But then he went on to say, but I despise missionaries who go overseas with the gospel to convert people. And yet we know that when Jesus came, when it says that Jesus did good to all, surely bringing the gospel to people was one of the greatest good deeds that he did. And if we are disciples of Jesus, we are called to go and preach the gospel as well. And if God commands it, then it is a good deed, it is a good work, and we must not neglect it. And this was Jesus' priority as well, to bring people back to God, that every person can have a relationship with God and know that their sins are forgiven. And Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So his body is important, but we must not neglect his soul. It has eternal consequences. So nobody does good to their neighbor if we withhold the good news and the gospel from them. So the call is to do good to the whole person. And then thirdly, I want us to just reflect on some of the virtues that must accompany goodness and good deeds. And the first I would say is compassion. We need to consider compassion. You know what the emotion that is most attributed to Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels was? It was compassion. So if we are to increase our good deeds, then we are challenged as disciples of Jesus to grow in compassion. We read in the parable of the Good Samaritan that two religious men see this stranger lying on the road, beaten up, left half dead, but neither of them stopped to help. And the hero of the story is, of course, the despised Samaritan. And it says because he had compassion, or he took pity and helped the man. Compassion is what, in some ways, emotionally connects us with the other human being. It's where sympathy and empathy come in. I read a book called Terrify No More about individuals who were working to try and help young children that have been sexually abused by pedophiles. And the author made this comment. He said, I am frequently amazed at my own shrunken circle of compassion, especially when I come from a faith tradition that teaches again and again of God's great compassion and passion for the world. To be honest, do you know what I'm passionate about every day? Me. I'm enamored with the shriveled world of me and mine. And most often, my first thought in the morning and my final thought as I drift to sleep at night revolve around me. I have a poverty of compassion. You can be a church-going person, pray to a compassionate God, and yet have no compassion. This is why there's so little good deeds done to our fellow human beings, is because we lack the compassion of Christ. We need compassion to accompany us if we are going to grow in doing good deeds. Secondly, you're going to need biblical knowledge. Knowledge and wisdom is required for people who want to imitate Jesus and do good. And here's the verse that came to mind, Philippians 1:9. Paul says, "It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment." So make sure that your deeds are good in the eyes of God. And the reason I say this is because people are involved in all kinds of good works, but from a biblical point of view, they are not deemed good. In fact, some are even evil. The abortionist may say that he has good motives, but the deed itself is not good. It is an evil. And so our good motives even do not make the deed good. For something to be considered good, the deed itself must be good according to the way God sees it and says of it. And so if it goes against God's commands, if it goes against Jesus' example, it is not good. It's not up to each one of us to simply define what is good for others. The scriptures even warn us, "Woe to them who call something good when scripture calls it evil, and woe to those who call something evil when God calls it good." It is possible for people to think they're doing something good in the world, and yet God says it's an evil thing. And just again, a biblical example is John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. "The hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me." Make sure that when you do something good, that God approves of it as good. So much harm has been done simply by people who think that because I have compassion and I do this, that, or the other, and I just give people what they want, and I have good feelings towards them, that somehow that's going to make it good. But sometimes even just if we have only compassion and we don't have knowledge and wisdom, we can do greater harm to other people. We need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need the facts of the case. How exactly can we help these individuals? Does this work? Does God approve of it? Those are the kinds of questions we need to ask when we do good. So compassion and knowledge, both required. A third virtue, if we are going to do good in 2021, is we need the virtue of courage. Doing good can be very costly, and it can be even very controversial. And when we read the life of Jesus as he went about doing good, you realize that so often it was his goodness and his good deeds that got him into trouble. Think, for example, when he healed people on the Sabbath day. How did the Pharisees respond? They said, "This is a sin, what you're doing." They didn't admire him because of his good deeds. They thought ill of him. Or think of when Jesus went to eat at a tax collector's house, a sinner's house, wanting to share the gospel with him. For Jesus, this was a good deed, but for others, they despised Jesus. A woman caught in the act of adultery, they want to stone her. But Jesus, in the end, forgives her and defends her. And then Jesus tells them the truth of their own sinful hearts. Did that make Jesus popular as he did that? Jesus told the truth. And telling the truth is a good work. it is a good deed. Better are the wounds from a friend than the kisses of an enemy. But truth-telling is going to get people in trouble. It's a good deed. In fact, I would go on to say as well from this verse that doing good involves spiritual warfare. Jesus healed all who were oppressed of the devil, it says. Remember, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He sought to cast Satan out of the souls of men and women who were spiritually possessed by him. But these deeds, these good deeds, required a great fight with evil. He was at war with evil. And so, friends, there's a level of goodness, a level of good deeds here that many of us have not yet entered. If we do good, and the only kind of good we do is the kind of good that gains applause from the world, then we don't really fully yet understand the kind of goodness that Jesus brought into the world. Sometimes doing good means that we have to face persecution, and that people will not think well of us and not think well of our deeds. And then fourthly, we need the virtue of perseverance. And again, here's a passage to keep in mind. Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. If we don't give up, what is that saying? We need to persevere. So when it says that Jesus went about or went around doing good, this suggests a certain consistency of character and activity. Okay, wherever Jesus went, with whoever he met with, his aim was always to do them good. But it wasn't just an occasional kind of doing good. It was a characteristic of his whole life. I mean, it is easy to do a good deed once or twice, but to continue doing it throughout your whole life, and to continue doing it when people don't appreciate what you're doing and they don't say thank you and all the rest. I mean, if every time we did good deeds, people praised us for us, thanked us for what we did, and you know, all the rest, then it would be easy. But the kind of goodness and the kind of good deeds we are being called to, we grow weary in them. It's easy to do that. Again, it's you know, it's easy to just throw a, you know, a quarter and to a poor man sitting on the street, but it's another thing to care for the poor. There's different levels there. So doing good, Paul says, you're not always going to be rewarded here on earth, but continue to do it because God has his eye on you. He knows what you're doing. And do it not just simply because you love the individual, but do it also to glorify God. It will give you strength to persevere in doing good. And then I would say as well that those who live a life of good deeds, they need rest. Same passage, Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary in doing good. Doing good can be exhausting. Working with people can be exhausting. You will not always see the fruit that you want to see. Sometimes you even see anti-fruit taking place. It gets exhausting. And Paul realizes this, and he says, let us not grow weary. And I'm encouraged by that, because Paul is saying, even I, the apostle, I know what it is to feel weary in doing good and continuing to do good. Even as I look at the life of Jesus, who was also weary, he needed time to just get away from people and to get away from human need and just spend some time alone with God. You need to be refreshed, you need to be replenished, and you need to be reminded as well as to why it is that you are living this kind of life of wanting to aim at doing good to those that you meet. So you're going to need rest. And I encourage people to take rest. So in conclusion, let me just say, if the Spirit had his way in our life, if every child of God filled with the Spirit, anointed by him, given power, I mean, if we acted and did good, there would be a lot less needy people in the world. There would be fewer ministries. There would be fewer people struggling financially, fewer ministries struggling to find personnel. There would be more visits to lonely people. You get the picture. If we truly imitated our Lord in doing good wherever we went, I mean, our lives would abound with good deeds and with good words and with goodness. If God has his way in our life, there's going to be a lot more good Samaritans in this world. So 2021, if we see the world growing colder and colder, then we need, as disciples of Jesus, the warmth of God's Spirit in our life. Do good to your family. Do good to your friends. Prioritize doing good to the community of faith. Do good even to your enemies. Do good to the city. And as I looked into the eyes of my pet, it struck me, do good even to your dog. Find ways to be a blessing to others this year. In many ways, it is the one language that everybody understands. And I leave you with John Wesley's charge. He said, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, and to all the people you can, and as long as you can. Let's pray. Father, we have celebrated Christmas, and why does Christmas even exist? Was it not because of the goodness of God? The Lord Jesus came because you are good. And in his good deeds, he died for our sins. And it was the greatest deed that he could ever offer to human beings. It was a good deed. It was a great deed. It was a God-sized deed. And I pray that in 2021, we would receive this amazing grace and this offer of free salvation in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as I just witness and see just the coldness coming upon people as we divide into our various groups, I pray that our eyes would be upon Jesus, that we would learn first and foremost from him, and that we would seek to do good to all, that would be our aim, even if it's refused and rejected. I pray that in our hearts we would truly seek to love our neighbor and to see in them the image of God and to realize just the eternal consequences that lie before each human being as one day they stand before you. I pray for your church, Lord, during this COVID season. We can't maybe do good in one way, but I pray that we would be creative and find whatever way we can to do good deeds to those around us. And I pray that as people see these good deeds, they would praise not us, but that they would give glory to our Father in heaven. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.